This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
To Plainly Down a Rabbit Hole, the podcast that hopes to stimulate your interest in various subjects every fortnight, so that via links on our Facebook page you can hurtle down the rabbit hole of the internet or our local library for more information. During each broadcast, two or three music tracks will be played, and listings will also be on the Facebook page. Just over a year ago, a man still only 30 years old was invited to the World Economic Forum, an annual event held in Davos, Switzerland. At one of the meetings, he was amongst half a dozen authorities on a panel giving expert opinions. When his turn came, he ignored the question he was posed and instead pointed out that the many billionaires attending the conference, and indeed even in the room at the time, didn't seem to want to talk about the elephant in the room. Taxes. Taxes, taxes. Why was it that the richest people in the world avoided talking about tax evasion? Actually, it's surely a rhetorical question, given that we all know the answer, which probably explains why the video clip of his statement was posted on YouTube and quickly went viral. The young man was Rutger Bregman, a Dutch historian and author. His best known books are Utopia for Realists, How We Can Build the Ideal World, and his new book published just 2 weeks ago, Humankind, A Hopeful History. The premise of his latest book is that the widely held view that human beings are selfish and untrustworthy is inaccurate. Bregman cites recent research in various fields which contradict this notion. Furthermore, he argues that many societal structures are organized in accordance with this negative view of human behavior, and therefore failed to deliver the wished-for outcomes. It's an interesting and hopeful perspective in a time where we could do with some positive interpretation of human nature. At the end of the book, Bregman presents some ideas on how individuals can apply this optimistic stance in their everyday lives. So let's have a piece of music, and afterwards Lou and I will discuss Bregman's 10 suggestions. This song, co-written and performed by Marvin Gaye, is now nearly 50 years old, but sadly, it still speaks just as clearly to racial inequality then as it does now. This is What's Going On.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring
Past decade, there have been a number of books containing lists for leading a good life. Three which spring to mind, all written by men. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, necessarily. Are A.C. Grayling's The Good Book, an alternative Bible for humanists, which includes 10 new commandments. Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. And now, Rutger Bregman's Humankind. Personally, I quite like A.C. Grayling's concise list, though I found the entire book long, dense and heavy going. I'm not a fan of Jordan Peterson, but some of his ideas are clearly valuable, while others I find trivial and odd. Anyway, let's say a big hello to Lou!
Hello, everybody!
How are you feeling, Lou?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. The reason I'm concerned, I was very concerned about you over the weekend, is that sadly you had a nasty dog bite.
Yes. Very surprising. Would never have put myself in the... ever thought that that would happen to me.
Yeah, quite so. And the first time you got in touch with me, you frankly sounded away with the fairies.
I probably was. many painkillers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you sent me the pictures, I could see why you'd had the painkillers. That was pretty nasty.
Yep, bit of a wound. I'm healing very well. Yeah, very, very well. I'm off all of the painkillers, yep. So I'm really pleased.
Yes, yeah, you sound good. And I'm really pleased that it's healing. That's very, very good indeed.
Shall I tell everybody that you wanted to take my stitches out for me? She's like, can I please take them out? I like doing that job.
Yeah. It's one of my specialities. So you've had a quick look through the various lists. Well, more than a quick look, actually. Tell me, which one is your favourite? It better be Bregman's, because that's the one we're going to concentrate on. But no, I'm not serious.
My favourite list, or my favourite... rule.
Overall, what do you think your favourite list was?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, fair enough.
I think each of them has really important rules in them. I particularly love Peterson's rule of set your house in perfect order before you criticise the world or others.
Yeah, see, I don't like that one.
I particularly do. I think that far too many people criticise other people without looking at themselves.
Yes, it's his emphasis. Can you read it again? On
set your house in perfect order
yes.
before.
Who the hell has ever managed to have their house in perfect order? I mean, if my house is not in perfect order, I can still criticise, I think, bad behaviour from other people.
Yes, I think there is a benefit to pointing out bad behaviour to other people. On the other hand, unless I say it in a constructive point or in a constructive way, then I don't have the right to judge. Why should I be judging somebody else's failures when I could be looking at my own?
Yes, look, I agree if it's in terms of there's something that somebody's doing that you don't like, but you regularly do that thing too.
Yes.
And you criticise them. But he's not saying that. To me anyway, he seems to be saying that your whole house needs to be in perfect order, even if it's not relevant to what you're seeing that's bad, before you're allowed to criticise. And I don't. That just seems a huge step. Nobody's ever going to have their house in perfect order.
I don't think that we should be criticising others. I think that we should be looking at ourselves and working on ourselves.
Look, you may well be right. I might have to eat my words.
Woohoo!
please don't do that to me again.
Okay.
I'll have to cut that. Okay, so, but let's, while we're talking about Peterson, there are a few others, I believe, that you quite liked.
I like treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. I thought it's not treat someone as you would like to be treated.
Yeah.
It is treat them like you treat your children. You care for them and nourish them and you want the best for them. And that's how we should treat ourselves.
Yes.
Sometimes, especially with mothers, of course, being one, I often talk with other mothers, and it is lacking in their life the care for themselves. And I see that too often.
I think we'll probably get back to this general idea from Bregman, though. He talks a bit about this as well. The ones I don't like from Peterson, I think there's three. If that was my list, I'm pretty darn sure I wouldn't start, number one, with stand up straight, shoulders back. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to do because maybe it gives you confidence and shows confidence to other people as well. It's just not what I would put as number one. And probably it wouldn't even figure in my top 50, actually. I just thought it was a bit strange.
And down the bottom that I remember was he said, if you see a cat on the sidewalk, stop and pat it.
Well, you know that I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I think it is a nice thing to do, but in the top 12 things of important things to do in your life.
It's just not up there, is it? I just find it a bit strange. But I'm, as I say, I'm probably biased against Peterson because I don't like quite a few of his messages. So how about we get to Rutzner Bregman's
yes.
list? Now, of course, the thing about this list is that it comes right at the end of the book where he's just illustrated, I don't know, all the chapters bar one, the last one, about how we've got a false idea of what human nature is about. And then he's saying because of this updated way of looking at human nature, these are the sort of rules that he feels come out of that. I think this might go over two podcasts, and we're not necessarily going to look at them in order, but we'll deal with number one and number two, and then maybe number nine, something like that.
Yep.
Let's see how we go. So the first one I thought was really interesting. Number one is, when in doubt, assume the best. And this, it seems to me, flies in the face somewhat of the Stoics, which we're both into, who say when you first meet someone, you should be somewhat cautious of them in terms of whether you invite them into your circle of friends until you've had a time to get to know them. And then if you decide that they are valuable people, then once you've included them as a friend, you should trust them implicitly. I think you have a slightly different take, maybe, on whether or not the Stoics are different from Bregman's number one about when in doubt, assume the best.
Yes. I think Stoics are talking about values. To create a friend, a good friendship, you need to have similar values. If a person has different values from you and you become good friends, you will naturally mimic or mirror this person's views, values, which might or might not be good for you. And you've got to be mindful if you want to go down that path. That's what the Stoics' idea is to me, which I think is fantastic, because you don't want to go down a path that doesn't work for you in morally or in terms of values. Bregman talks more about the good, assume the good in a person.
Two things I would say. One is that I tend to be quite suspicious, I suppose. That's putting it too strongly, but you get my gist. When I meet new people, that's because I've been bitten in the past, and it's a reaction to that. And as time goes by, I'm kind of easing that suspicion, which is a healthy thing. I'm pleased about that. And I'm pleased that Bregman has sort of pointed that out so that I can continue to just be, not to be overboard
yes.
with my suspicion. But the other thing is that, of course, what the Stoics were talking about, and I think this mostly comes from Seneca because he was the one that wrote about friendships the most. He is talking about friendships. Bregman isn't actually talking necessarily about friendships. He's just talking about, interacting with all kinds of different people. And in that case, you should assume the best. And I think he's basically right. But it's a case of moderation, just like the Stoics would say.
Yes.
That when it's just something that you're coming across in everyday life, if you don't know, when in doubt, assume the best. But if you're getting to know somebody, before you bring them into your inner circle, I go with the Stoics that you should be cautious about that.
A friendship is so much more than just is a person good or bad by nature.
Yeah.
There's so much more to
friendship. I think your point about values is a very good one, because when we have friends, you can't help but feed off one another for ideas or ways of behaving and so on. So if you have a friend that does things that you actually don't like, you're likely to pick up some of that and mimic them. We mirror each other quite a lot without perhaps even realising it. So perhaps that's not the best friend to have if they're someone who hasn't got similar values to yourself. I think the other point I'd like to make is that often if we have a negative view of somebody, they're likely to pick up on that, and then they will act in response to our negative view.
Yes.
It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas if we are positive towards them, they're likely to react positively back to us.
And our children are prime examples. If we expect that they are capable and competent, they are much more likely to be capable and competent. And if we tell them that they're useless, then they'll start believing that.
Okay. So let's get on to rule number two. Think in win-win scenarios.
Woohoo!
So there's only one thing better than a win-win.
There's three wins!
So you agree with this, don't you?
Oh, Lou? Yeah. I think, again, it's using wisdom. When it's a situation like gardening, if I go around to Jane's place and plant some cabbages and lettuces and things like that, then Jane has... There is win-win-win. I get social contact. Jane gets fresh vegetables. There is less food miles involved. There is a connection to nature. There is community developed. There are so many aspects of a win-win to a vegetable garden.
And I like her more.
There's that too.
I think what Bregman is also saying is that when you have some problem and you're trying to think of how to resolve it, you know, he's saying, try to think of something that's win-win rather than one person wins and the other person loses.
Yeah, basically.
So, okay, let's have a piece of music now. And when we come back, we'll deal with just one other, which is point number 9. This is Gardunor with We Still Grow.
In moments stolen from the ocean of time, beyond the everlasting balance of mind.
So, Lou, rule number 9 is come out of the closet. Don't be afraid to be good.
Yes, kind of think it's wider than be good. Maybe be yourself and let all the aspects of yourself be shown. The softer and the kinder and compassionate, thoughtful.
I mean, I haven't read his book because there's very few people that have so far. It
hasn't come out yet.
Well, it has come out, but only just. I noticed on Amazon, out of the general public, there are only, I think, 10 reviews so far.
Oh, okay.
It's so hot off the press. By the way, I have requested the library buy a copy and they have agreed to that. So, but that's going to take, you know, a while. And I'm first in line. I haven't gone through this, but I think that probably he is, and it is a bit of an assumption on my part, but I think he's probably meaning not just to be good, but to be vulnerable, to be kind, not to flaunt yourself as being better than anybody else. And that's what he means about coming out of the closet. It's being able to show your true nature, that you are a kind, thoughtful, good person. And that doesn't show weakness, that actually shows strength.
Absolutely.
If that isn't what he means, he really should be saying that. No. Anyway, so I thought that that was a good one to end on today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time and we'll go through the others that we've left out, which is actually another 7.
I was going to say, can you count yet?
Yeah. Oh, so another 7 of them. So we'll leave that up in the air for you to wonder, what could those be? And we will see you again, I hope, in 2 weeks' time. Say goodbye, Lou.
Bye.
And here comes the music. So it's bye from me too. Please find the links on the Facebook page. And thanks for listening.
Bye.